Hi, Kelly. This is Carrie Matesik, and I want to say thank you so much for your submission for your virtual lesson through Dressage Academy. I'm really excited to watch your horse and to help you on your journey. I want to first commend you for riding an Arabian. They have a special place in my heart. I started my own dressage career on an Arabian, and I think they are just a great breed. I think they're very capable of dressage, and they're just really great friends. So thank you for sharing him with me through video. So Kelly, I would be doing you a disservice if I didn't also mention using a helmet when you ride. They're required across the board now for dressage competition, which is wonderful. They're very important. And there's been a ton of advancements in the last decade alone in fit and comfort and affordability. Of course, the choice is yours, but I care about your safety and I just want to bring that up. All right, so moving on. I understand that you are in a bit of a rural area and don't have much access to instruction there. I want to share with you that there are some ways that you can gauge your progress without needing someone in the ring with you. We have the training scale, and this is, you know, something that stretches way back into the history of dressage. It came over with, you know, our European brothers and sisters as the sport spread here. The USDF has published a very nice, neat copy of it. It's on the website. And I think if you don't already have that, it would be something great for you to look up and have access to. What it does is just gives you an idea of where your horse should start and the steps that you need to go through to get to the ultimate goal of dressage training. And if we look at it, we'll see that it starts with rhythm. Rhythm is very much about correct gaits. It's about having the correct footfalls, making sure that our walk has four clear beats. An incorrect walk can be lateral, so a horse can have a really tight back and cause their legs to move with lateral pairs. So that would be an incorrect rhythm. The trot, of course, two beats. Some horses could get pacey in the trot if they have that kind of breeding. The canter, we have three clear beats with one beat of suspension. And of course, I'm sure you've heard of four beating horses, or horses can also have lateral canters. These are all things that sometimes are conformational flaws, but often are tension induced. So rhythm is really important because the horse needs to really have the correct footfalls to start with. We go from rhythm to relaxation. And yes, I'm sure your horse could be more relaxed. And frankly, that's something that every horse works on, despite breed. Relaxation is something that you're always going to come back to. With this training scale, as you get to the next level, you always have to be mindful of the levels that you've come through and always be going back and making sure that there's not been a hole that needs to be repaired. So we have rhythm, relaxation, and then connection. And I think connection, Kelly, is really where we need to start here today. Just to go through the rest of the pyramid, then we have impulsion, straightness, and collection being the ultimate goal of ease and rideability. Another way that we can gauge is actually through dressage tests. And if you were to go to the USEF site, United States Equestrian Federation, they publish our dressage tests from training level through fourth level. And at the top of that test, each test, they give you the purpose of that test. And I think that this is often overlooked. as judges, it's very important that, you know, we know what the main idea, if you want to say, is of each test that we look at. And when we're talking about training level, just to read from that test, it says, the purpose is to confirm that the horse demonstrates correct basics, is supple, moves freely forward in a clear rhythm, with a steady tempo, accepting contact with the bit. So there again, in training level, I think that's the appropriate place to discuss your guy. We're talking again about, you know, freely forward. Does the horse have good energy? Which your horse has really nice energy. We're talking about rhythm. Rhythm is so important. We've got to have a correct base in those gates, a steady tempo, meaning that the horse stays at the same repetition. We don't like to use speed, but basically that it's not too fast and not too slow. And then here's the biggie, accepting contact with the bit. So I'm sure that you've noticed that your horse likes to really lift his neck. He braces. Why he's doing this is because he's lacking strength behind. Essentially, your horse is moving his legs, but he's not moving his back. What he's doing is he's hollowing. And if you're sitting in a chair right now listening to me, we can practice this just sitting. If you want to, you know, sit up nice and tall, think about your lower back. I want you just for a moment to really drop it. Really feel like you just pull your belly forward. You really let that back kind of arch forward. Feel how it's natural to want to brace your own neck back to balance yourself. You don't want to be thrown on your face or your forehand if you were a horse. So it's natural that you brace your own neck and head upward. And if you were a horse, it would be upward. For us, it's back because we're sitting in a chair. If you were to get on your feet and walk around like this, I imagine you would find that it's easier to kick your legs behind you. Now, round your back, pull your belly button up toward your spine, and let your back really come up like the shape of a turtle would be. As you do that, feel how it's much easier to soften your neck a little down and open your throat. And if you're walking around, you should find that it's easier to compress your joints and your legs, that you can bend in your hip more, you can bend your knees more. You'll find that you can cover more ground with each step